You go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is, if you look at the end of 2 Chronicles and then the book of Ezra and then Nehemiah. Times of concern. Now, while you're turning over there, let me talk a little sports. How many of y'all are concerned because the Texans actually, through the draft, drafted a quarterback? What was that? You're excited about it? Well, y'all have got a personal investment, I know that. He's a young man, that's right. But Coach O'Brien, I think I heard him talking about it yesterday, and I think the biggest challenge is, I believe that his name is Deshaun Watson, is that right? And Coach O'Brien called him Watkins. And I know Coach O'Brien is a smart guy. I think he graduated from Brown University. And he's always talking about, you know, drafting. He's a smart player. He's a good teammate. And so anyway, but I think I heard him call Deshaun Watson Watkins. So anyway, he'll have to work on that a little bit. I know those kinds of things happen. I know I've never made a mistake in speaking anything like that. So who am I to critique Coach O'Brien? But go Texans. And I know I'm just kind of giving you time to get to the book of Nehemiah. Are you excited about the Rockets and the Spurs playing?
Yes.
Anybody for the Spurs?
Yes.
You are? Well, I think there's a lot of Rocket fans that are in times of concern right now. The Spurs are a really good team, but so are the Rockets.
Yeah.
So let's give our, and how about the Astros? Yeah. I know you say, you know, Pastor Dennis, wow, you're taking a long time to talk about sports. You know, we're blessed right now because we have good sports teams. And I'm a native Houstonian. I remember times when it was bleak. So anyway, let's just give, let's thank the Lord that one of the blessings, it's I don't know what the significance of it is, but let's just thank the Lord that we've got some good sports teams to cheer on, okay? Can we do that? All right. Well, times of concern is something that we all go through, isn't it? It's something that is not only personal, with our families, our immediate families, extended families, our churches, Christian community, our neighborhoods, our city, and our nation and the world. And we are living in times of concern. And Nehemiah is a great book to read through and study. And while Nehemiah is a really great leader, and it's a, you know, what's written about him is somewhat brief. This morning, I think he's a great model for us to look at as we face the challenges and personal crises that we go through and that we've seen in history. So let's begin to read in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who just had arrived from Judah. And I asked him about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." That's a pretty bad report, isn't it? Going on in verse 4, when I heard this is Nehemiah, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days, I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess," listen to this, "I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family, and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember when you told your servant Moses, if you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place that I have chosen for my name to be honored. That's a great promise. That's for us as well, by the way. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put into his heart to be kind to me. You know, the Bible doesn't give much background information about Nehemiah. It's kind of interesting how the Bible does that. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you see leaders, both men and women, who come on the scene, and they're there and they're ready. And so a little bit about Nehemiah was that he was born during the exile period. His grandparents were most likely taken into captivity when Jerusalem fell to Babylon. And we see that he appears here as an adult. Now, he's a man of godly character. I want you to know that. If you know his story, you know who he is. And he is really ready to serve God's purposes. And so the Bible really presents him as a person with deep compassion. Can you say that with me? Say it. Deep compassion. And that's important. And he had a great love for God's people. Now, if you know his story, or if you read through in chapter 1, Nehemiah is a cupbearer for the king, Artaxerxes. Can we say that together? Artaxerxes. Yeah, one more time. Artaxerxes. I mean, I don't know if you read that and you wondered, but anyway, it's just that name really, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know what a cupbearer does? Yeah. So they probably had a lot, just in case. Yeah, that had poison in the wine, so bring out the next guy. Now, he's serving in the court, and Artaxerxes is a Persian king. And it's an interesting story, because, and we'll talk more about it in a minute, but Artaxerxes would actually commission Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem to help build the walls, rebuild the walls. And what we find is that Nehemiah didn't actually name the city that he was going to. This morning, how many of you would just join me for just a second? You don't have to raise your hand. But if there's something that you're concerned about, I want you to just bow with me. And I just want you to kind of do this, just to lay it at God's feet, okay? I know we do that at the end, but let's do it at the beginning of the message. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning, all right? So let's just do that. You can just participate in this, just in the quiet of the moment. Just lay it at God's feet, whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever the circumstances are. Now, I want to just ask you to begin to voice praise to God for taking that and you putting your trust and faith in him right now. Father, we just begin to praise you and we thank you. We extend our concern, our burdens to you, God. We bless you and we thank you, God. That's right. Come on, just voice. You can voice out. It's all right. Thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're here. We thank you for your presence. Minister to us, strengthen us, guide and direct us. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that good? That's a good thing. God is a good God. The Holy Spirit is here to help us and to minister to us this morning. This morning, as we talk about times of concern, I want to focus on Nehemiah's prayer relationship with the Lord. And I know some of the things that we may be facing, our family may be facing, our country is facing are very significant, aren't they? And so I want to just draw out from Nehemiah's story just four characteristics to highlight to you this morning about his prayer relationship that we see with the Lord and what he practiced and how he prayed. Here's the first one. Nehemiah prayed with a heart of deep concern. I mean, obviously, as we've stated, his prayers were at a real time of crises, and we can identify with that, even though, you know, probably most of us are not, you know, taking on the major project of rebuilding Jerusalem or something significant like that he did. But his heart is full of compassion. Now, I know that in America sometimes that we want to kind of stuff things down. But I want to say something to you, that what God puts in your heart to be passionate about, if you don't see that happening, it's okay to carry a burden for that. I mean, that's God putting something on your heart. And we can't be afraid, because sometimes those things are going to cause us to have deep concern. Is that not right? Yes, it is right, Pastor Dennis. Thank you. I mean, because I know people say, well, you know, you can't confess worry and those kinds of things. Well, in the same way, maybe it's an apples to oranges comparison, but, you know, we say, well, if you get angry, you sin. No, that's not what the Bible says. But you understand, you can have a deep concern. I mean, you could even experience some anxiety, and it's on your mind. And what I'm saying to you is that it's out of those kinds of times that God uses that to draw us in deeper and to draw us into deeper prayer. I mean, isn't that right? We can't be afraid of that or try to even, I mean, sometimes we try to confess, you know, we try to confess these things away, and God wants to do something good. And so we see that Nehemiah prayed with a heart of deep concern. I mean, his prayers, it talks about his prayers and fasting, you know, I mean, were daily. But he may have prayed and fasted for 4 months. For 4 months. I mean, he's praying with deep concern. Now remember something about, where is he? He's in the king's courts. You talk about, I mean, if you read through some of this and you look at how those kings lived, the food that they ate was better than going on a cruise. What's that?
Buffet.
I think actually you could order whatever you want and then bring it for you. I don't know that, but my point is that he was in a place, in other words, he was so deeply concerned and praying out of such a, you know, a deep concern in his heart that he made it such a priority. He was willing to put aside his appetite for food for 4 months that he might pray to God. That's how concerned he was. And I'm sure there may be other things that the Bible doesn't highlight. And so, it's okay if we go through seasons where we're concerned, because God is doing something good in us I don't know about you, and I talk a lot about what's going on in America because I have a concern. We have daughters, son-in-law now, grandson, and what will they go through? And it's challenging times, isn't it? You know, but one of the things that I'm grateful for in this whole political stuff and all the infighting and all that, because I believe that there are more Christian men and women in leadership politically now than there have been in a long time. And that's what we pray for, isn't it? We pray that God would forgive us and that God would restore our land and that he would help us to change, starting with us, the church first. And God has heard our prayers. Secondly, Nehemiah confesses sinfulness and human weaknesses to God. Look in verse 6 and 7. Let me go back to it because it's very important. He said, I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family, and I have sinned. I know a lot of churches, a lot of Christians don't want to talk about sin today. And then he goes on and he said, we have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. He's being honest with God. He's not sugarcoating the sin problem. We have a sin problem. We have a sin problem in this country. We have a sin problem in the church. We have a sin problem in our families. You say, wow, Pastor Dennis, I mean, this is not a very encouraging message. But if we're not honest with God, and God sees our sin, but the promise is that if we'll come to God and we'll confess our sin and not be deceitful or dishonest or pretend, that God will what? He will forgive us. He will give us power to change and restore us. I want that for my family. I want that for my grandson. We're all fighting a lot of things, even within our extended families. Katya and I have talked about that, you know, and prayed about for our families, because in our extended families, there's alcohol and drug use and a lot of things. And you say, well, why are you pastoring? Well, you know, because God called me to pastor, and we're all of us, all of our families, we're vulnerable to sin. We live in a world that's been affected by sin. But listen, I mean, we don't have to give up or be discouraged, because the power of God and what Christ has done gives us hope, not only for us, but for our families. Yeah. I mean, when you pray and when you feel the Holy Spirit, you know, just getting into your heart deeply about your family or your grandchildren, look, that's part of the promise that we have. It's part of who we are, that we can go boldly into God's access, into the throne, and pray for our family and pray for our kids and our grandkids and their grandkids. Yeah. That's right. Let's clap. Not about my message, but about the God that we have. And because he wants to draw us close. And can I say something to you? That at the end of the day, and all of our extended families, listen, they may miss the mark. They may miss God. But I don't want to miss God, because there's a process. There's a God who cares about us, that uses these things so that he draws us in. He wants us to know how much he loves us and the access that we have because of what Christ has done for us.
That's right.
You don't have to go to the self-help book, section of the bookstore. You know, you don't have to get into the new age stuff. You don't have to move away from the anchor of God's word. God's word stands firm.
Yeah.
So it's okay to confess our sin. It's not okay. It's a commandment. Y'all remember years ago, this was a great thing. Y'all remember when Governor Rick Perry gathered, you know, they had the big gathering. It may have been Reliant then. It's, you know, NRG, no room for God. But anyway, I think it was Reliant, and I like that a lot better, you know, because you go, God is Reliant, you know. I'm sorry. It just popped out. Forgive me, Lord, for making a bad joke. But you know, how many of y'all went to that, by the way? Now, that was a great time. There were like waves of the Holy Spirit coming in. I'm not talking about weird, you know, but the Holy Spirit was there during the praise and during scripture and words of encouragement. And I remember sitting there and the Holy Spirit began to bring to me things to confess, not only in my own life that had happened years before, my family. And listen, it was just like, man, it was so good to get that stuff out. Not that I hadn't gotten it out before, but it was what the Holy Spirit was doing. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, when I see, and I've talked a lot about my family, because of being a pastor and being, you know, in the Christian community, we've all shared our, you know, the burdens that we have. And many times, it's difficult to go through. But I'm so grateful that God leads us to not only, I mean, it's not just my sin today, but it's that God can help us and he brings us into the place where the Holy Spirit moves in us and we're confessing these things both personally and for our families and for our nation. Listen, sin doesn't affect just us. It affects the whole nation. It affects the world. And it's so good that as Christians that we can confess to God, that we can take personal responsibility. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. Now let me just say that, hold on to verse 9. In a lot of the church, there's a lot of motivational messages being preached, but we're not talking about sin. I want to be careful that we're not fooling ourselves. And so here, we have been committed, and we're going to be committed, as long as I'm pastoring and the pastors before me, to preach the truth of God's word. Some of the church growth models recommend not touching some of the subjects that we touch. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. The word in some translations is all unrighteousness. And if you think about righteousness, it really means having a right relationship with God. So for us to have a right relationship with God, you know, we have to confess our sin. And look, here's the thing, is you don't know everything that you do in your life to miss the mark. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, sometimes, hey, if I tell God to lie or something or do something and I realize, okay, so I know that. But do we realize that we need the Holy Spirit because we miss the mark? And so the only way that we know sometimes is how we've missed the mark is the Holy Spirit reveals it to us through his word or by the Holy Spirit. Yes. Hey, cleansing is good. Amen. Isn't that right? You know, sometimes you're praying when our leadership will get, you know, we get together and we pray. And it's good to be able to be in a group of men where you can confess your sin. It's good to have a wife where you can say, you know, I really missed this and I had to confess it to the Lord and I'm confessing it to you. Will you pray for me? A lot of times she's already seen it if it's something that she's been around. I'm grateful for because it's not only, I mean, that God blesses us with access to him, but that we have a sense of, God, without you, I'm nothing. It's good to be cleansed. It's good to pray over our family. The third characteristic that we see in Nehemiah's prayer relationship with the Lord is that he prayed specific prayers, believing God will lead him. Let me say that again, that he prayed specific prayers, believing God will lead him. Go back to verse 11, Nehemiah 1. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. You know that what happened with Nehemiah was that he is, you know, while all this is going on, he's still the king's cupbearer, right? I mean, I don't think that he took a four month leave of absence. There's nothing in that said that he did that. Now, here's the thing about being around a king like that. If someone showed sadness in the king's presence, you know what the penalty could be for doing that? Death. And I don't know how many times kings were tried to be poisoned. And so it was a serious matter. Now, so what it says is that it wouldn't be for the faint of heart. Now, the thing that we see in Nehemiah and his prayers towards the Lord is that God would lead Nehemiah to make a very bold request of the king. He's facing losing his life if he shows any kind of sadness. And now he's going to make a request. And we have to understand something. Have to understand something about his request. Earlier, when King Artaxerxes heard that the Jews were beginning to come back out of captivity to Jerusalem, they began to rebuild the wall. And so what happened was he heard about it. The king did, and so he sent a letter stopping the rebuilding. And so what happened is this process, if you read through it, I think in chapter 2, what you see is that the request is made by Nehemiah to the king, but he very subtly never mentions the name of the city being Jerusalem. Now, So here's what I'm saying. Let me move past this. I don't want to lose you here. But he's facing the serious consequences of being deeply concerned and praying and being in the king's presence as his cupbearer, and that if he does this, that death could be the consequences. And yet he is making a bold request to the king, and very subtly God is leading him, you know, from a standpoint of how he is to make this request to go to Jerusalem, you know, a city where the king has already sent a letter shutting down the kind of building project that Nehemiah would go and lead. And so what I'm saying to that, if we can kind of, you know, draft out of Scripture, then I believe that God, if God can do that for Nehemiah, he can help us, and he does. If we pray specifically, I believe that God will answer specifically and lead us in the direction that we need to go, whatever the matter is. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? All right, good. I mean, persistent prayers. Luke 11, 9 through 10 say, "And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open." As a child of God, we have great access, and God will open up the door to us. Let me just give you a simple example. Children know how to knock on the door. You believe that? When Maddox, our grandson, is over, there's a bunch of boys that he plays with. And so as soon as they see that he's there, then guess what happens? Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And one little boy comes over, he's got a tennis ball. And it bounces on the sidewalk, he catches it, he does it again. Now, if children know how to go and knock on the door, then as children of God, we ought to know how to knock on God's door. Nehemiah's prayers acknowledge God as being great and awesome. And as it turned out, the great and awesome God would respond to Nehemiah in such a great way. Praise is such a great thing, isn't it? And it's hard to get to sometimes when we feel a burden. I know that. When we feel great passion. I mean, sometimes, as I've said, and y'all know this is true, many of you pray, in your connect group, you pray for your families, and you feel that weight sometimes. But you know what's so great about prayer is it's an opportunity really to begin by giving praise to God, by acknowledging how good that He is. And listen, praise is a key to entering God's presence. We know that. You know that's true, isn't it? And so if we're going to pray and we want to acknowledge God being great and being awesome, then praise is a real key to entering His presence. And it's important because where praise is active, God is near. You want God near when you're praying, right? And so remember to give Him praise. I mean, that's a good practice. In the same way that we come into worship, we just don't come into worship. We come in with praise, and then God brings us into an intimate place. And the same thing is true about prayer. Listen, I mean, I know it's hard sometimes when you're concerned about things, but listen, praise is a way to begin with prayer. Lay aside the needs that you have and begin to acknowledge how great that God is. Because when you don't see it, when God's calendar doesn't match up with yours and you don't see the things, listen, you can still acknowledge who He is and how good He is. And that can be daily. And listen, praise brings us into alignment with God's kingdom. Now, how can we do that? We're talking about confessing God's greatness in our prayers. What we did this morning, singing praise and worship songs. And listen, don't try to go through things by yourself. The reading of Scripture, the confessing of God's Word, and giving our testimonies is another way. I mean, Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3 says, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together." When you read through the rest of Nehemiah's story, what you see is that he would be granted a commission to go to Jerusalem by the king. I mean, the king, listen to this. The king sent a military escort with Nehemiah for his trip, gave him letters of permission, and he gave him access to the king's forest to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. God provided more than Nehemiah could have expected. I'm going to go ahead and close. Just a few thoughts as we close. America, let me start with our nation. America is in a time of crises. You know that we are moving towards a more secular model in our culture. It's hostile out there many times, as we're seeing. You take a stand for your faith or for God's word, and you certainly will find resistance. But look, as Christians, we're called to be a godly voice. God is calling. It's okay. We're almost done. But God is calling us to be a voice. And I think, you know, to again, to stand up. And I think that's one of the things that God is doing in our country again, is that you can feel it's like there's a rising up, you know, and where maybe we felt, well, you know, I better just open the door and stick my head out. No, we can stand and speak out wherever we are. We still have that right. Nobody has taken that right away from us. And the fact that we are Christian gives us a greater authority to speak the truth of God's word. Because there's a lot of deception, and there's a lot of spiritual darkness. And we're called to be salt and light. And yes, our immediate and extended families, they do and they will face concern in the future. I mean, sometimes it's immediate. I mean, and it's just, this is a very simple thing. Last night, later, Clarissa, our daughter, and many of you know, and her husband, Miles, they live in Little Rock. Well, she was asking for prayer because they're getting these bad storms coming in. And so anyway, you know, she's asking for safety during the storms and all of that. And so this morning, so I sent her a text message last night and said, yes, we're praying for you. And so this morning she sent me a text message and she said, Dad, the Lord was so good to us because lightning struck the power line right in front of their house, but it didn't do anything to their house. And sometimes those prayers that we pray together, you know, for our family and whoever, they're immediate, aren't they? That's a great God. That's an awesome God. I mean, because if you've ever been close to lightning, it's not something that, it will kill you in a hurry. You know, For my hip surgery, I had to call the insurance company. And so anyway, I just real quickly, I was talking to the first representative that I talked to. And so anyway, she said, I'm going to try to transfer you over because I want you to talk to another representative. And so she said, I hope I don't lose you. I said, well, that's okay. You know, I know the automated thing. She said, I don't like the automated. You know, because many times you have to call and you talk to three or four people or your own, and you know your waiting time is going to be 15 minutes. Look, there's no waiting time to get in God's access. God doesn't say, you know, I'm going to send you to three or four different representatives. He said, I'm very capable of handling this right now.
Amen.
You're good, God. Um, And then the last thing is that he's there to hear our prayers. His word gives us promises that we can hold on to during times of crisis. And the Holy Spirit guides us how to pray and will lead us into the future. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I thank you. Thank you for who you are, that you are the God of the universe. You're the God that's created the earth and the heavens. You're the God that created us. Thank you that you created us in your image. And thank you, Father, that even though sin damaged the world and it damaged our relationship as you had intended for us to have as your children, Lord, that you are restoring us by the blood of Jesus Christ, by personal faith in him. And thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit and your word that ministers all that we need in truth and in life, God. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to invite any of you that would like to come for prayer. I want to ask the altar team that will be serving this morning if they would make their way. And and just in closing, I want to just say, and I know too many of you have prayed for me and the surgery that I have coming up. And I want to just say, by the way, thank you so much, because I won't take time to tell you how many affirmations of this being the time and this being the way we're going in the direction I believe is the Lord. I mean, so many people that I don't even really know, where I've been in a meeting and they saw me limping, have come up. I can't tell you. And so I want to thank you for your prayers. God bless you. We love you. And I look forward to seeing you in the near future. Ron and Leslie? Sure. Come on. Yeah, come on. Just, if you all want to come up or whatever, or if you just want to extend your hand out, doesn't matter. God will buzz the Holy Spirit right through your arm. Thank you, God.
Holy Spirit. And Lord God, during this time, Lord, and even with the recovery that comes from it, Lord God, pray for righteous testimony, but not only that, Lord God, just fresh word from you.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
Fresh refreshment in him and in his spirit, Lord God, we pray in your name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Father, we ask you to give the doctors that do the surgery a good night's sleep.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that Dennis is a man called by you, Lord God, to stand in the gap for this fellowship of this people. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that as he goes through this surgery, Lord, you will strengthen him, Lord God. Lord, that his ability to stand, Lord God, both physically and both spiritually, Lord God, would be renewed by the power of your Spirit.
Yes, God.
I thank you, Lord God, for Lord, just new permission in Dennis's life, Lord God, as he goes through this procedure, this process. I thank you, Lord God, for just a newness and a renewed, Lord, just sense of your presence here among this body, Lord mm-hmm. God, as Dennis leads. Mm-hmm. We just thank you for these things, Lord mm-hmm. God. I thank you, Lord God, that your word says if that same spirit that raised mm-hmm. Jesus Christ from the dead dwells mm-hmm. in us, it will make our yes. human body.
Yes, yes, God.
So I thank you, Lord God, for that spirit, Lord God, that mm-hmm. you placed in Dennis,
yes,
Lord God.
Lord.
Just providing and healing, Lord, just encouraging.
Yes,
yes,
Lord
God.
Lord, just mm. knitting bone and sinew
yes.
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord,
Amen.
As Jacob wrestled with you, Lord God, mm-hmm. and you touched him, oh Lord God, mm-hmm. the same for Dennis, Lord God. I know mm-hmm. that, Lord,
Thank
he's
you,
wrestled with you a lot, Lord mm-hmm. God, over this congregation, mm-hmm. over his concerns for this nation, Lord God. Mm-hmm. And now, in the process, Lord God, mm-hmm. you changed Jacob's name to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord God, I ask that you would allow Dennis to enter into the fullness
mm-hmm.
of
yes,
the mantle
Lord God.
That you mm-hmm. placed upon his shoulders, yes. O Lord God,
yes.
in this day mm-hmm. and at this time, O Lord God, mm-hmm. in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Can God. I put one little more now?
Yeah, yeah, you can.
This Thursday is National Day of Prayer and Fasting. And they're having it at the Merrill Center in Katy. It starts, I think, Thursday afternoon at 6, and 52 hours of prayer. That night, Phil, Craig and Dean are going to be there. It's mm. a night of prayer, and it's free. So if anybody's able to go.
Great, thank you.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks, Leslie. Thanks, everybody.
Does anybody else have something they want to say or pray over Dennis before we?
I just want to say one thing. Is as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual.
Mm.
This is not just about your hip,
right.
your walk, but also a new walk and a new direction. As you
yeah.
walk and you can run and you can lead
yeah.
for this church.
Yeah. Thank
and
you.
Prayer of Jabez. Your boundaries will be expanded.
I thank you.
Okay, so I got the same thing he did as far as your walk has been halted all these years, and that there will be no more halting in your walk after this surgery.
Mm.
And that's even in the spirit realm as well, that I believe God is going to take you.